Crab Feast. You know what it's all about.
This is the Crab Feast. I'm yelling, fuck that. You ain't gotta ask me, cause you can trust that. Every Tuesday, you already knew though. Ryan Sickler, soccer star, JUCO. Above ground, cool goes better than most. Jay Larson, self-diagnosed. Go down low this week, last week. Here we go again, fuck the Crab Feast.
It's the job.
Welcome back to the Crab Feast, y'all. Another Tuesday. The Crab Feast for that ass. There we go. That's how you touch pitches right there, Jay Larson.
Two levels, baby.
Two levels, player.
Two
good
levels.
Good to be here, Jay Larson.
Good to be here, Sickle Cell. Great to be here with you, Feaster Nation. JayLarsonComedy.com, Jay Larson Comedy on all social media. Great to be here with you. Nothing really going on. I'm just in town doing spots in and around town. So if you are in Los Angeles, I usually put it out there on Twitter and Instagram about where I'm going to be. So please come on out and check out a show.
Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. I'm going to keep telling you for two more weeks to take that Crab Feast survey. Thank you to all you who have. Upper right-hand corner of thecrabfeast.com. Your merch is there. Follow us on Spotify. Laughable is a favorite app of ours. We really love Laughable as well. And make sure you follow the Crab Feast on Facebook and Twitter.
This week, we have two great sponsors. Father's Day is just around the corner, and I'm sure you're looking for the perfect gift. Everybody's looking for something. What are you going to do? Get him like golf gift certificate that he's never going to use, or get him some tie that he's just never going to wear? What better way to say, I love you at Father's Day than kicking it off the grill season with Omaha Steaks Father's Day package for dad? You could do it for an uncle. You could do it for a cousin. You could do it for whatever. We've been using Omaha Steaks now for years on the podcast, and Ryan and I love it. They come with such a great package with so many different things, and anytime you're sitting there like, oh, what do we have to cook, or people stop by and you don't have, boom, it's right there waiting to go. It's convenient, hand trimmed, flash frozen, and vacuum sealed. They have a variety: pork, poultry, veal, lamb, bison, seafood, vegetables, and the quality is unmatched. I have a very good buddy who lives next door, and we had the Omaha Steaks, and he's a little snobby, and he goes, oh, Omaha Steaks, and I go, yeah, and we busted it out, and he's like, he was like blown away by it, and it was kind of refreshing to see a guy who's like a really good cook and everything. And the customization is amazing with Omaha Steaks. You can pick everything you want. You can get this, you can get that, mix and match, whatever your dad's into. Get him what he wants. There's also recipes. There's wine pairings. There's so much stuff if you go over there. So right now, Omaha Steaks is giving a limited time offer to our listeners for Father's Day. It's a 78% discount for what you're getting. If you go to omahasteaks.com, type Crab Feast in the search bar. So go to omahasteaks.com, type Crab Feast in the search bar, and you can get this Omaha Steaks Father's Day package. You ready for this? Two filet mignons, two beefy top sirloins, two chicken fried steaks, two boneless pork chops, four all beef Omaha Steak burgers, four jumbo franks that I use for the kids' lunch and they love, 12 ounces of all beef meatballs, 1 pound of steakhouse fries, four caramel apple tartlets, which are slamming, one Omaha Steak seasoning packet, plus get four more grill ready Omaha Steak burgers, which is perfect for grilling season right now. Again, that's limited time package for only $49.99. this is like a $200 value, plus $200+, 78% off at omahasteaks.com. type Crab Feast in the search bar and get your Father's Day package for that special dad in your life. Also this week, ZipRecruiter is back. If you're hiring, every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it? ZipRecruiter, that's what you need. You know, everybody's out there and you're like, how are you going to find good workers these days? Where can you go? There's like a bunch of different places. ZipRecruiter handles all of that. They knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in one day. Do you know how insane that would be? That you can just get a quality candidate in one day, especially if you're jammed. I mean, I don't know. If you own a business and you lose a worker, how quickly are you getting one? ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. And they're cutting a lot of the work that you need to do, which is a bonus for you. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/crab. That's Z-I-P Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R.com/crab. ZipRecruiter.com/crab, the smartest way to hire. Ladies and gentlemen, excited to have back on the podcast one of our oldest and most dearest friends. Ladies and gentlemen, Carl D, welcome back to the Crab Feast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. Love this. Miss you guys.
You get voted fan favorite a lot. I really appreciate that,
Feasters. The interactions have been heartwarming.
There have been some other people who weren't as favorable.
Weren't as thrilled about the Carl D's incidences.
Well, it's great to see you, Carl D, as always.
Thanks.
I got to see you the other night for the first time in a long time. But before I talk about that, why don't you go ahead and plug whatever you'd like over there, Carl D. Your book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Keep going through their portal, right, for Amazon. Grab the Drama King on Amazon. You can also, I don't know, I'm going to be in Beaumont, California on May 25th at the Sand Trap Bar and Grill.
Ooh.
And I will be appearing on Room 104 on HBO at some point, but I can't really say much more about
it. I love
that.
That's fantastic.
That's great.
Yeah, it's all right.
Social media, websites.
Drama King Carl on Insta. Carl D does it on Twitter. Carl D Gregorio everywhere else. So I'm making it complicated
Very, very diversified.
I should get it all out the same, right?
But why not?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, are they available?
Yeah,
I think Drama King Carl is probably available across the board.
I think so. Yeah.
And that'd be a nice hand.
That would be easier to
real
find.
Somebody's locking it up right now.
Yeah, we just blew that for me. Thanks.
No, well, I mean, you can get
that. I guess we got time before that.
Actually, Ryan and I purchased it earlier, so if you want to buy it off us, we'd love to sell it to you.
CNK. We both
got cyber squatting, right?
So I Carl and I met at a dinner at a friend's the other night. I haven't seen Carl D since your stand-up show, which is probably
six months, maybe, coming up.
Yeah, I was going to say longer, 8 months ish somewhere in
there.
That's
not right.
And we're having dinner. And this motherfucker over there starts reaching in his mouth, and I'm like, "You pulling out your partial plates, bro?" He's pulling out Invisalign at the table. At the fuck,
I'm supposed to step off and do it
at the table. He's doing it.
That's a little.
How
rude.
Many people are at the table?
Four of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
pops him out, and I'm like, "What's going on over there?" So he tells me about Invisalign. And he just goes into these stories about his just nightmares,
horrors
of teeth and wisdom. Tell him about getting your wisdom teeth.
Well, you don't go for 20 years. Shit's gonna be. They're gonna need to overhaul the transmission in your mouth. And I didn't. Did you go under when you got your wisdom teeth out?
Well, yeah, this was like a year and a half ago.
Like oral surgery where you're unconscious.
They put me out and pulled five teeth.
They didn't put me out.
For wisdom teeth.
You got dental.
And took four.
Yeah.
And I got...
They manhandled the fuck out of me. Those are deep, dude.
I had to tap out and get more needles to go.
They kept them away.
Why did they not gas you?
Because it was just the gas doesn't do anything. Like
no, put you out?
Because it was just a dentist. It wasn't an oral surgeon.
I went to an oral surgeon.
And it was still 1,700 tooth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, that's without dental. We had dental. Mine was because of this one... Remember, you had to take me to the emergency room?
Yeah.
Oh.
The pain.
Yeah.
They put me on like...
There was a moment where Jay and I were taking each other to the ER.
One week after the other.
Domestic partners right here. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But the pain wouldn't... They gave me... Like, I went in to a doctor and he's like, "Oh, you had a root canal that's gone bad." Ugh. And he's like, "You're going to have to get that out, but I'll put you on these like pain meds until we can get you an oral surgeon." I was like, "All right." And the pain meds didn't work. And I called him. They're like, "It should settle in." Finally settled in. Then I had to take another one at dinner. We went to Scopa, Kate and I, and then we're going to a play at the Kirk Douglas, right? And
too much.
So I pop one at dinner at 8 o'clock because it was like I was supposed to take it at like 8:30. I'm like, "Let's take it now, just so like I can roll." And it never took. And I think it's because I have like the hiatal hernia, so it may never have even gotten in my blood. It might have just sat down here. And dude, I'm not kidding you. I was at level 10 pain throughout the whole play.
The whole play.
We got home. Telma was there. I'm like, "Kid, I think I need to go." I called Rye. Rye went over there with me. And then they didn't see me till 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the painkiller kicked in at like around 2:30. And like the doc told me the next day, no, you were supposed to tell him to give you like a fucking morphine shot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they didn't. And then I went in.
Like Advil,
Motrin.
Basically.
And they're like, you got to go in. They're like, go in. And they're like, we're going to, they knocked me out. I woke up. They're like, hey, we pulled out like four wisdom teeth too. And I was like, all right.
That's the way they should do it, I think.
I went to a professional.
This dude.
I went to a professional. Where'd you do yours? In the back alley in El Segundo?
It's a reputable cat, but the.
Is he?
My girl's in the waiting room, and I think they hit me with so much Novocaine that my uvula started like touching my. I thought I was choking on toothpicks because it was like, and he's just dripping. And
I'm like,
and she comes barging in. Is he okay?
Can she hear it?
Yeah, oh yeah, in the
she
waiting room.
She can hear him in the waiting room and went back there through the door open.
Reputable place when they can hear you out in the waiting room.
She said, he's fine. He's fine.
She's man.
Like, does that sound fine to you?
And then 15 minutes working on a tooth, and he's like, well, we just got the crown off. Now the root's got to come. And I was just,
That's what he said. He goes, now there's the crown. He's like, you're not even in there yet. How man. One of them was bent. How was it bent?
It was bent. It was perpendicular to the tooth next to it. You know, because when I was in New York, just not having health insurance and not having money and you know, I remember the tooth was coming in and badly and it hurt. And I would just like think I had the flu for the weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, I got the Invisalign because I want those Denzel Circa Pelican Brief fucking chompers, bro.
It's going to take a while. And so now he's literally invested in his teeth. And it's going to be what when it's all said and done?
Probably like 18 G's.
Yeah.
All right.
It's a lot.
It's ridiculous.
He's put 18 grand into his mouth, right?
Just in time to quit show
business. We go sit down. We go sit down and we're putting the Cat Williams special on. He starts complaining about his goddamn small patellas for real. They went and got him. I swear to God.
What were you complaining about?
They got him swelling. I got frozen peas.
Garbanzo beans.
Yeah, garbanzo beans.
To put on your knee.
He laid there.
I got ice.
Teeth
ice,
looked great,
right?
But he was icing up.
He had the knee up in my office before you got
icing
here.
Icing up with garbanzo beans.
I got an ace bandage on it right now.
I was dying. I said, dudes, fucking brand new teeth, the same old small
patellas. It's a chronic condition. It's a chronic
patellas, bro. But we were talking while we were there, and you were telling me you've only been to the Hollywood Bowl once?
One time. I loved it.
Like knowing you, saw like fucking, you know, the Philharmonic.
No, it wasn't. I mean, it was. It's a little
or
embarrassing.
Grease.
Yeah, it's something similar. It was a chorus line, which is it's a beautiful, beautiful.
Oh,
music.
I hope I get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mario. The first time I didn't want to punch Mario Lopez in the face.
Oh, that's right.
He's really good in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he plays the choreographer. And you're just sitting there going, like, you just want to scream out, a 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
It's just like, and the show's perfect for the bowl because it's like an audition, and all you need for the set is a line.
Yeah.
And it's monologues, and I've been into that show for a long time.
I know. I watched that so many times as a kid.
Yeah, and they had those. If you grew up in the tri-state area, they'd have these commercials.
If he says tri-state area one more time,
I said it like five times.
I've got two at least.
Well, and they put the.
Because your tri-state area is different than my tri-state area.
That's true. You got DMV, right?
Well, yeah, that's D.C., though, but the tri-state area would be state. Being Delaware, Maryland, Virginia.
Ooh,
what's your tri-state?
New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut.
And Connecticut gets into New England too?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Come on. Beautiful. But I don't know. I can't handle. I literally go. I don't know. Do you have emotional. What's the word? Like emotional.
Outbursts?
Are you in touch with your emotions in your daily life? Do you know what I'm saying?
In what way?
Well, like a lot of. I'll use movies and art to, you know, get my emotions to the surface, and they're very involuntary sometimes, like you know, the whole song that's really cliche, but What I Did for Love, I'm in the Hollywood Bowl with my sister and my girlfriend, and I can't keep it together.
Started bawling.
I didn't want to bawl because people were looking, and it's the Hollywood Bowl, right? So it's not a dark theater. It's like you're out,
outside.
People are picnicking, and there are these people like talking and eating sandwiches. And so I'm trying not to, but I'm like,
y'all have some of this brie?
Yeah, exactly.
This brie right here.
Drinking Prosecco and shit. And then they're like, kiss the, and I'm like, like I'm literally trying to force the tears from, like, because it's an outburst. I choke. I'm
choking. You lost it.
Yeah, I lost it. Because the song,
and he wanted to punch people too. He said there were people talking.
Were you convulsing, like your body shaking?
Yeah,
because little kids are like, "Daddy, what's wrong?"
Yeah, he's a freak. He's a freak, and then
he has no control of his emotions.
It's terrible. But they fucked up the movie because they said the movie was about people trying to break into show business. That's not what A Chorus Line is about. It's about pros
struggling
who have to struggle and what I do for this sacrifice for this gig and this career. That's, you know.
And it's like the old vet and the young one.
Yeah,
like
you're sitting there going, what I did for love. And then I'm thinking about
Warmers everywhere.
Every terrible show I did in New York. And, you know, it's just too much. It's too much emotion.
And was it a night show?
Yeah, they put the light, you know, but they got to wait for the sun. I think it's like the good way, you know, have you ever gone to where the way they park you in the funnel, they just like feed your cars into these downhill slopes in these weird, it's like a scientific jungle of like they wave you in and then you're pointing on the way out.
I park outside.
You hike in.
Yeah. It's not a hike, it's only a block.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've only been once,
and I make sure it's no double stack. That's the other thing.
Uh-huh.
Because you'll get there and there's some asshole some be dude crying in the fucking yeah,
he's trying to get
still waiting. And you're like,
he's trying to get his shit.
This guy can't let go up here. Yeah.
It's this asshole crying.
It's not
right
the
here.
Theater. They make you stand for the national anthem. It's like a sporting event almost,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's a weird kind of, the crowds are different than, you know, like a theater crowd. So I was definitely the freak trying not to. And I'm just having emotions, the music in the mirror, you know what I'm saying?
You know what they do at T-ball? At T-ball, you have to give this, like, before every game, you have the kids line up on their baselines, and then you have to do, like, the T-ball anthem, which is, like, respect your team. Something, I don't know what exactly. Respect your teammates. I don't know it at all. No one knows. They told me about it the first game. Someone else read it off. And then, and your love for God. Love for country, love for baseball, love for God.
Wow.
And so... I had to do it on Sunday, and I didn't pull anything up. I go, all right, guys, who wants to have some fun today? I'm like, let's have some fun. Respect your teammates. Respect your opponents. And whatever you believe in, if it's God, if it's something else, that's totally cool with me. Let's play ball.
That's funny. That's like the cliche scene.
Whatever gets them off the bags today. Play ball.
And all the parents are just like sitting there and shit.
That's the romantic comedy scene where they do grace and they make the guests say grace and you're just winging it.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
great.
Know how they bring God into it. I didn't know they did the national anthem every time at the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm always a little late, I think.
Oh, I can't be late, man. You know, remember, we went to Book of Mormon. That was stressful for me.
Yeah, but we got there before. We didn't miss anything.
We missed the overture.
Okay. He's still holding on to it.
Well, it was like last minute. We were rushing around.
Best,
right?
It was the best.
That was one of the best performances I've ever been to.
It's great. It's great.
Speaking of religion, I'll tie it around.
You have quite a list of things here. So
right.
Let's just, speaking of going too far, let's hear about this commercial audition.
All right. So for a while, they were trying to do these hoax things, or at least this.
Hold on. For those of you who don't know or have never driven behind Carl D, he went to Carnegie Mellon. So, you know, he's classically trained as an actor has a lot of experience. You know,
So this commercial audition was going to be from a surveillance camera, and it was going to be a hoax. It was poorly described, but basically it was people in a waiting room before a presentation.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who has the laptop and who's got all the information for the presentation isn't there. So they say, just have a fucking meltdown.
And you're like,
got this.
Check out this footage from the Hollywood Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not even going to audition.
This is from security.
Here's a clip from yesterday.
So I start pacing, and I have like the junior executive next to me. So I'm like the big angry guy.
And Carl D knows how to pace.
Boy. Oh, and I start going back and forth, and then.
And wait, hold on. I'm trying to.
He paces like a
you're
salsa.
In a room. Like
the
this
audition.
Right here.
Yeah.
And there's other people in there as well.
No, just the camera person. And the other actor.
All right, so it's your turn, and you're on closed caption.
No, that's how they're going to shoot it. But at first, they're going to have to shoot it for the audition.
Right.
But eventually, they want to have you. And so they want, I think they want verite. They don't want.
This is 7-Eleven security camera.
Yeah, because they're going to try to get it to go viral. Like, watch this guy lose his shit.
Then it's all fake.
Be publicity. Yeah. Right. So I go deep fucking Sidney Lumet fucking, like. So I start pacing, and I'm like, fuck. And I. I use the name Jerry Langford, which is a character from the King of Comedy.
You're not going to believe this right now.
Jerry! Get your ass in here, Jerry! He's the king, baby.
So I say, fuck. I said, fucking Jerry's not here. You know, I start doing that, trying to do it really good.
It's just you and the camera guy.
And the other
and the junior
actor.
Executive yeah, yeah. or whatever.
And I'm like, fuck. God. And I start looting, like, fucking Jerry Langford. He fucks me and he has every fucking time. I start flipping out. And then she's like behind the camera going more and more. And I'm like, oh. And I start, like, I go there. So I get called back. And
go
then
where? What else?
To this level where I'm like, you motherfucker. I will fucking, I'll kill your children's children. And I'm just like.
You need to hurry up and get it here. Yeah, yeah. Kill Jerry Life.
And then. But
Scorsese's like, hey, man,
it's out of control behavior. So I get the call back. And I have to go to the next level where the executives are there. And I'm going there. And they have to pause you and give you notes, and I'm like, hands are shaking, I'm as angry as can be, and I start saying, motherfucking, it's Jerry Langford, every, and then they have to give you notes, and like, it's out of, like, the camera person's shaky and nervous, and you know, they have to tell me to try it without curses. I'm like, how am I supposed to do this without curses? But I go bananas, and I'm losing it, and I, you know, people in the waiting room, like, see me walk out, and they're like, freaked out that I got, you know, that something bad happened in there, because I thought that was the point.
Is the guy working on your teeth in there, man?
Something. Like, I'm losing it. So I see another audition. I see a girl who was in the waiting room, and she's like, "How'd that shoot go?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "You clearly got that, right?" And I was like, "No, I didn't, because I went too fucking deep and dark on it." But it was fucking. I was.
They did take away my SAG card.
Yeah, so. It was bad. It was. I was fucking. I was like, whoa. I mean, because if it were,
where's the anger come from, Carl?
Yeah, exactly.
In your defense, which I love that you went there, but in your defense, if that's closed circuit TV, those things don't usually have audio. So the bigger you go, visually especially, the easier it is to understand
and bleeping it out.
Someone's losing their shit. There's no audio.
Right.
You're good to go. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
I was trying to turn it into like, you know.
Art.
Or like something you would see on like Cops, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where it's like, this can't be fake, because I thought that was the point. But then I found out who, you know, got the thing, and I was I can't tell you, but it was just like some.
Why?
I don't,
why not?
Because I don't remember, but I remember at the time thinking like he was like more of a spokesperson-y kind of like, so they went shticky with it anyway. So, you know, I think I freaked out the clients, because they were just like, wow, you really are in touch with your anger and all that stuff. I'm like, yeah, and I'm sorry. But, you know.
You mean like a little too much, actually.
Fuck. Yeah, I lost my shit.
Look great, though.
But the Jerry Langford was like, I thought I was the only one who, like, it's from, it's the Jerry Lewis character in King of Queens.
Yeah, I'm sure all those people picked that up.
Yeah, they didn't.
Yeah, no.
But I did.
I walked out of audition the other day, and you know the old audition, you know, that you come in the room and be like, nah, I think you guys can all go home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I just switched it up. I just walked by, and I knew both of the dudes, or I knew one, and the other one knew him, so I just walked by them, didn't say anything, and just was talking to myself. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, no, they just gave it to me in the room. Yeah, I'll see you at night. And one of them was like, never seen it in the phone, bro.
That's excellent.
Still haven't heard.
I love how Jay fucks with people in the lobby.
Everywhere.
He's the fuck with them.
You know what I did today, by the way? I was in Glendale 2.5 weeks ago. And I was pulling over to look at my phone to make sure I had my directions right instead of driving. And the back of the car rubbed up against the front of another car. So it just like put some like the plastic that covers the wheelbase on my car rubbed up on theirs, and it chipped a little of their paint.
Oh,
and I'm like, ah, fuck. You know, no one's around. So I just leave a note. Hey, this is my number. This is what happened. Let me know how you want to proceed. And the guy hits me up. He's Armenian and he barely speaks English.
Right.
Then he has.
Let me call Sam Tripley real quick.
He'll come in here. Then he's got another guy calling me back and forth. Finally, I'm like, they're asking me, what auto body shop am I taking to? I'm like, I'm your auto body shop. I'm going to come and handle it. Like, this is not, you're not getting a whole new quarter panel here.
Oh,
if you do,
yeah.
We'll go, there's no dents, you know what I mean? Just had to be cleaned. So finally, I go there today because we couldn't get them, couldn't find a time last week. I fix it, right?
They allow you to do this.
Yeah. I'm like, who else are you going
to
do?
They don't fight you to go to a body shop.
If they did, I would just say, yeah, let's just go through insurance. I'm not going to a body shop and finding it. Insurance is going
to
be like, you're crazy.
Yeah, you're trying
This is like, an auto body shop is just going to paint it. They're not going to replace a quarter panel for it. So I'm sitting there. I clean the whole thing down. It's just a little piece like this. I paint it white. They come out. They look at a husband and wife. They're like, okay. And they go, no, come in our home. And I was like, what? They're like, you have to come in our home. And I'm like, I do. They go, have you ever had Armenian coffee? And I'm like, no. And they're like, All right, let's go. They sent out pastries, fruits, chocolates, nuts.
That's nice.
They brought their baby out.
Damn.
They were like, we thank you so much
because
for
you were honorable.
Leaving a note and then coming and doing it. And it wasn't
made
a good
Americans
job.
Look good.
I didn't do a good job.
He's got white out over there. Just
he's got a chamois cloth. It's a 409.
And a hair dryer.
Trust me, I had Windex with me if I needed it. Had to clean the surface, man. I keep just going rough.
Jay's handy. Very handy. You guys are both handy. I got tapped at a red light the other day. At night, he bumped me. And then I pulled over to the side, and then he took off. And
of course he did.
And I freaking chased after him, blew some stop signs, clicked them, and he got out, and there was no damage. But he was trying to tell me that...
He drunk? He was probably drunk.
He was
probably
hopped.
Not
was,
at
I,
all.
You yeah. know, and I gave him pills. The old... I'm like, look, just give me your number, and hopefully when I wake up in the morning and see there's no problem, I'll text you and say no problem. But if I, and I start getting, you know, I go too far.
You fucking went,
you're like, Jerry,
I go, look, man, you want, we can do this one. You know, what are you? You're probably 0.99 over here, if you know what I'm saying. You're a little hopped up, you know.
Like, did you bring out the fucking detective chalkbook right there?
I didn't. I was going to bust out my badge wallet.
Oh, I know you got
but,
tin on you.
Yeah, I was going to tin his ass.
Did you,
but I let
did
it
you
go.
Call him out for possibly drinking?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, yeah.
And did he settle down?
He did calm down, but he started throwing at my dad's a lawyer. I'm like, I don't give a shit. But I was both, like, I was kind of proud of myself that I didn't let it slide. But I also, you know, didn't know if I need, like, I didn't want to, there was no need for insurance. I've never been in any of this.
Yeah.
So the data processor was burning.
What
my
if
brain
you,
was flipping, like, thinking of all these scenarios of how to.
What if you had gotten an accident chasing him down?
Oh yeah,
you
right.
would have lost your fucking
mind. Oh yeah, yeah,
mind.
Yeah. Oh god, yeah. It's just he just tapped me, but he was all like burnt out and just like my
guy quits drinking. All of a sudden, everybody's an alcoholic.
Yeah, but
how long have you been clean and sober?
I mean, I haven't had a drink in 4 years, but I had a beer in Milan just to say I
of course
could be pretentious and say I had a beer in Milan. But yeah,
so wait, when did you break your sobriety?
In I'm not in the program. I'm
no,
just
I
the
know.
Teetotaler now, I guess, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's 4 years.
Good
That's rough because I rocked some beers back in the
day.
Oh,
you did.
I could drink some beer. I lost 20 pounds doing so, though.
Just not drinking?
Jeez. Yeah. Like, I mean, what else does he need to brag about here?
His teeth, his weight.
Yeah, his teeth.
Let's hear about how this one of your old jobs surprised you.
All right, so New York, I had a great job in a bar on the Upper West Side that was the kind of place, not corporate. So we were the guys with the, we had the keys, we had the code.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a buddy of mine would walk by and let himself in to have a Johnny Black on the rocks just because it was late. You know, it was mm-hmm. that kind of place. It was awesome. But they were very, either I was leaving or it was my birthday, but I'm bartending and they start telling people, give last call, we're closing up, but let people know what's about to happen. And I'm like, what's about to happen? And like, oh, you're going to find out. And what's about to happen is the hostess and I guess a couple other people put money together and hired a stripper for me. But it's like New York, you know, late 90s. And it was a music venue, so there was like a stage. And way too many people stayed.
Mm-hmm. So like how many? Like 20?
Yeah. Okay. So there's an audience, and there's a grand piano on stage, and then this hooker and her handler, who is like a pimps up, hose down kind of female guardian, you know, like a female pimp, like with the bowler hat, and you know, she's looking after this stripper, and I'm like, this is about to go down, and I kind of asked for it, but I was joking, and then it happened, and so it's the whole like they're treating me like the groom or whatever, but. She, I didn't know this
like
was...
I'm 26! What is
yeah,
going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, exactly. But she got, I don't want to get graphic, and thank God it was probably pre-internet, although there were digital cameras, and so this shit exists. But she took my belt off, bent me over a chair,
mm-hmm.
pulled my pants down, and whipped me with the buckle.
With the buckle?
Yeah. And I'm like, like I'm up there just getting abused, and like, and then it's just, then you're just a hostage, and then it's just not, obviously it's not sexy, and people are laughing and taking pictures and throwing singles at you, and you know, it was bad, like it was physical,
yeah,
it wasn't sexy at all, and
for you,
She probably loved it.
No, I don't think so, man. It was just, and then nothing's happening down low. She's doing the grind. She's grabbing the package, all this, and nothing's happening.
In front of everyone.
Yeah. And I come off stage and I'm shaking. I'm like telling people, like, I think I need to go see a urologist and shit. Because I got no movement down there. Urologist. And I'm like, I can't, there's no way I could be a porn star. Because it was not even like, you know, and then people are like, I said, something's wrong with me. And they're like, something's wrong with you. If you did become around in front of 30 people.
Getting whipped with a belt.
Carl's dick's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like a public erection is just, that's something I've never had to contend with. So I definitely think that.
I got one right now.
You see that? That's because Jace doesn't give a fuck. Oh, God. But I can't believe, like, I was like, where's the sexy shit? You know? And it was like, she's making me put dollars in, like put a dollar in my mouth and all this stuff.
That's the dirtiest fucking thing. Putting the cash in your mouth is disgusting.
Yeah, the whole thing was just, it was just like I.
Strip club cash.
It got abused. Oh. That was never my thing.
Did she dance for anyone else?
No.
Did she dance after that? That's all she
came and
did?
No, she took off, and then everybody was like, oh, it's hilarious. And I'm just like, what the fuck? Just I got assaulted up there.
You're just
there,
fucking rocking
abused.
Yourself quiet in the corner?
Years ago, I told this story on the Craft Feast. I'll briefly tell it again, but it was a bachelor party. I couldn't go until after work one night. So I met up on part two of the bachelor party. There had been this part one they had some strippers come back to the house and, you know, my buddy's dad's there and all this shit. And it was, I guess, respectable raunchy for part one. But then they all went to the block and I met up with them when they came back. Well, they run into her down there, the same woman. Mm-hmm. And they go, why don't you come back? We'll pay you again, whatever. So I get there, and it's already going round two. And everyone knows her. They called her Mistress Fawn.
Jesus.
I walk in, and the first thing I see is this lady's laying on the floor, buck naked, legs spread. And this sausage, like a kielbasa, shoots out of her vagina. Okay, right? Jay's got the look. I'm freaking the fuck out because I'm like, what? Like, is that? Like, is that stomach lining? Is that you? Like, what is it? And they're like, no, dude, she put that in right before you walked. But to me, I'm walking into looked like flesh shooting out. And I was like, what the fuck?
Good
I
Lord.
Was instantly turned off. She kept coming over to me. She's like, are you gay? I go, no, you're just disgusting. You're disgusting. Keep moving it over that way. It freaked me the fuck out. It really did. I never in my mind processed that she had put that.
There's a moment before. Yeah.
All I saw was, wait, what happened to that poor lady? Shit just gave out over there. I think you need to retire.
Entrails. Yeah, exactly.
I think this is signifying the end of your illustrious career.
That stuff is, I just don't respond. No response.
I don't blame you.
How was it after?
Fantastic.
Did you guys cook it up?
Fantastic. Yeah, exactly. Man, we grilled it.
Definitely
fantastic.
A Polish kielbasa, right?
Not
a
sausage and eggs, man.
Not a brat.
Holy shit. Oh, man.
Indeed. Oh, my Lord. That is a mess.
You got so many fucking stories here, Carl. You got pickpocketed? Here's what I'll say. If I've been pickpocketed, I don't know
about it. Yeah.
I don't know it.
I don't think I've.
Well, when you're, I don't think I have either. But there's been things I've been like, I just had that. Maybe someone did grab it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you're broke at the time, it was like knowing you had $15 in your pocket and not having 15. That's how that went down.
Well, what happened?
In New York, back in the day, I suppose.
I'm sure it's still the same.
Yeah, they're walking around like. You ever like in New York on a way to after graduation we would do these presentations for casting people and I had a room at the Marriott Marquis because my
here we go again
yeah I'm bragging yeah. Marriott but we all went we went to a salad bar got all like the short ribs and the meatballs and all this stuff from a deli mm-hmm. and we were partying in my room before we had to go to this ceremony
real rager huh
yeah but you know you do that thing where you're looking out at the city and you're about to you know think you're gonna hit the acting world and so you start screaming I'm gonna take this you know. People do it up at Mulholland.
Okay,
they go out to the Mulholland. They shout out at the city what they're going
to
accomplish.
Gonna
yeah, exactly. Basically, you're just like, how do you
I'm going to book this closed caption commercial.
I'm going to lose my shit in casting rooms.
I'm going to cry at the Hollywood cry at the Hollywood.
A lot of tears is basically what I should have said. But anyway, we're doing that. And then on the way, you know, we need to fuel up. And we get, you know, you get the the tall boy cans, like the Sapporos. You ever get the big Sapporo can?
So you're going to go audition at this point?
No, we're done. We're going to go see how we did. Oh, like, we're going to get the envelopes full of hopefully good news. And there's like a reception. So my buddy and I were on our way, and we said, let's get a couple beers. And you know those, there's all places around New York, like the little chess tables, the concrete chess tables.
Yeah.
And we're sitting at there just crushing some beers. And so I think we knew they were hookers, but they were all over us, like patting us down. And you guys are cute. And we're like, oh, this is cool. Like, because we were thought we were the only street smart kids in the class of a bunch of drama nerds.
We heard you yelling off your building 5 minutes away.
Yeah, exactly. And they pat us down, and we're all like, oh, no. And then, you know, I get to the party, and I'm like, I'm fucking light. Those hookers, they pickpocket us, and I had no – I mean, they weren't patting us down. They were deft. They were deft pickpockets, for sure. And that was not a good omen for
– 15 bones?
15 bones, at least.
I mean, shit, that can float you for a minute.
Back in
1920. What,
the 20s, yeah. The
Boardwalk Empire. Wallet? Did you have a Velcro wallet?
No, I always had back in the day, the threefold, which is not preferable anymore because it would fuck up. The bills would be all threefold that I never liked. But it looked good in the pants. You know, you're always worried about it. You don't rock a wallet in your thing anymore, right?
My back pocket?
Yeah.
No, years ago, a doctor told me that was why my part of the reason I had back problems is I'm always sitting uneven on a wallet. Uh-huh, so as soon as I took it out, it felt better. I was like, yeah, well, that fucking makes sense.
That's all it was.
A money clip front pocket.
Yeah. I do both.
You got a front pocket and back pocket?
Well, I got that wallet with the...
in case they come for it, like they open it and it just says, fuck you on it?
Yeah. But I traveled out of the country for the first time, and like, why would you get paranoid that you're going to get pickpocketed in... Oh, there's pickpockets in Rome. It's like,
you're going in New York and LA. Yeah, there's
right. And so I was like obsessed with trying to find a front pocket wallet, which is just like stupid.
I'm sure there's pickpockets all over Rome.
Yeah, or LA or City Walk but you get so like, xenophobic and freaked out. Like, oh, we're going to another country. They're going to pickpocket.
It's different there.
They're going to roll up in a wagon train and just like play an accordion.
But I feel like you are susceptible because you're a foreigner.
And you stick out. Yeah.
You stick out so they can pluck you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My buddies, I mean, I have friends that got, I think they were in maybe London, and they got rolled up on, and dudes, before they knew it, had cut their wristwatch off. Boom, boom, grabbed them too. And I heard another dude in Venice, Italy. On his honeymoon, he and his wife were at this bar drinking. She went home to the hotel. He was with these guys hanging the whole time. They fucking beat him, grabbed his wallet, and dumped him in the fucking canal.
Jesus.
Killed him?
No, they didn't kill him. He came too, but he fucking woke up like at the bottom of the canal.
How is he not on Dateline? That sounds like a story that doesn't go unreported.
I'm sure stuff's happening. You know, I'm sure stuff happens all the time to people that come here.
You know? I guess that's true.
But I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I do think that you are more susceptible when you're in another country because, you know.
Yeah, and then you get the money belt under your pants and you got to like go digging
in. You ever see Europeans that like have back and they have their backpack on their front?
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, dude. Like who's coming at you?
Right,
apparently, a lot of people.
I guess so. Yeah, that makes some sense. You got to be heads up.
Get your wallet around your neck and like down your shirt.
Yeah, or you get that credential wallet thing. My dad
always taught me about the rubber band around your wallet. You know that one?
Uh-uh.
You know that one?
Uh-uh.
He used to say all the time, you put a rubber band around your wallet, and even if they're getting it, it'll snag. You can feel them getting it.
Oh,
you know
that's
what I
smart.
Mean? And sometimes that quick snag, the rubber will hit your denim or pants, and they won't be able to snatch it real quick. And if they do still grab, you'll feel it, and you can turn around and... get stabbed to death for that $15.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and a library card. That's fucked up. It's a tough world out there.
You got a lot on here, Carl D. How about
a lot of thoughts?
I don't want to say, in case that's part of the joke, I don't want to say that name right there. This one right here, number 11.
Oh, yeah.
Number 11.
This is pretty esoteric, play theater bullshit, but there's a play.
That's a big part of your life.
That is
a big
part
of
my life.
Drama King,
that's right.
Carl.
This might be, you might be able to get the details in the book, but there's a play by Lorca. It was a Spanish playwright.
Go fuck yourself, Carl B.
It's really
Lorca.
Yeah. And it's called The House of Bernarda Alba, and it's about three women in a house where the husband dies, and you're supposed to mourn back in the day for a year, and the daughters are supposed to just sit with the mother and something like that. And one of the daughters is kicking it in the stable with a guy named Pepe El Romano, who's supposed to marry another daughter, right? So there's all like a love triangle, and one girl's giving it to him, and the one girl's supposed to get married and help the family now that they don't have a father. That's the backstory. But Pepe El Romano doesn't exist in the book.
But guess what? He play. Does exist.
Pepe El Romano!
Bring it love you cheese, man.
That's just a funny name, Pepe El Romano. But I was on the soundboard. So I was an underclassman. I was on the sound board. And so I was...
doing sound cues and shit?
Yeah. And you sit there like with a headphone and like being a ready sound cue for ready. And you're just saying, and it's kind of, you know, nerdy.
It's fucking but cool
it's,
shit.
Yeah, it's fun. And you and in the, you know, the equipment is like you, these boots have these little... like,
backlights! Backlights! Yeah,
yeah. Plexiglass window and you got the little box. And when you're on stage, you can
best
see...
best seats in the house.
You can see, you know where the people are. You
got a little dim light over your fucking notes right there. And everyone's got a cup of coffee.
He's sliding up. Look at him, he's sliding it
fade,
up.
You know, you got the fade and you're like, you're into it. And you, and you know, with my level of anxiety and stress, like if God forbid I'm the reason God something forbid. Doesn't fucking
other
go down.
Other guys are high five and you, God, you hit that spot, bro.
It's just it's fun, but you're part of the show, but you're not in it. But off stage, the two actresses who were playing the rival sisters, I had coincidentally been involved with one of them and was not coincidentally, that was a total reason we were together. Anyway, I was the two actresses I had. I was hanging out with one of them currently, and then previously was with another actress.
So you had fooled around with both of them.
Yes, and so
Pepe
they
El Romano
started.
Over here.
I was Pepe El Romano, like off stage, and because it's drama school and everybody's a psycho and everybody's way too into like method acting, this thing heated up the stage and the dressing room was tense because
wait as a soundboard guy you get to go in the dressing room.
No, I kept hearing from the girl I was dating at the time that
it was
like,
getting back to him, Jay.
Yeah,
it was making its way up
through the sound guys.
Yeah. So you know, it it was just, you know,
wait, what was she telling you?
She was saying, you know, that we're not
word
talking
is.
Backstage because she's using it as a motivator to play the scene she's got to play with me. So we're very frosty backstage because you're Pepe El Romano. Like, there's an actor. They don't have to do an improv about it. You know what I'm saying? And
like, all right, well, stand over there real quick. Let me check your spots.
And then opening night comes, and then instead of getting flowers, I get the girl a bonsai tree because I was trying to up the ante with the, you know, and then the character.
How'd that work out? What's the bonsai tree do?
Instead of roses or flowers, a bouquet, she's got a bonsai tree.
That's what
for.
I don't want to get from my office.
It's nice, right? Yeah. They don't. They're hard to maintain. That's I learned the hard way. But so everybody's backstage, and she's got to play a moment in the play where she basically offs herself. She's got to kill herself, right? Because she got, you know, tainted by Pepe El Romano, right?
Very dimly lit.
Yeah, and I'm just turning knobs up there in the booth. And, you know, I screwed up her whole fucking vibe because everybody's like, oh, I got flowers. She's like, I got a bonsai tree. So she was trying, like, she was being all giddy backstage like a girl and then had to, like, make the adjustment to play like someone who's going to off herself. Anyway, it was just the sitting in the booth during the rehearsals and stuff. I guess I got off on being Pepe El Romano.
Wait, so on that opening night, was she couldn't get to the dramatic part? Was she? Just,
yeah, she just didn't have a good show. Hit. Like they're like 2 week runs, I think, maybe not 2 weeks, but they run the shows for a while at that at CMU. So, you know, there's off nights and big nights, but she was just like the night opening night. I kind of fucked up her arc, you know, her dramatic arc, which Jeez. Is so it's just all silliness.
I mean, Mr. Miyagi would even tell you don't drop a bonsai tree opening night.
That's funny. Oh yeah, what are you gonna do? Did you guys ever use micro cassettes when you were starting out?
Oh yeah, yeah. I first called. I would call my answer machine.
Oh, that's that. Chris
and,
Rock told
well,
me that.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And then I heard him say that, and I was like, man, I figured that out because he's right. He said the first time you say it, it's the truest it will ever be, and then that's, the art form is
I've
just
never
the
even
idea.
Heard that, and that's every time I play back something I've recorded in my voice recorder, it always is the funniest thing. I couldn't even riff on what was in there.
Right.
It's because, but like when you call, do you just sort of say, I just say, hey, I have a, and I pretend I'm talking to somebody. Like, hey,
I
just
to say, it's me.
Yeah,
I used to say,
exactly.
Hey, it's me.
Got a crazy idea about
talk about this and this and this.
Overdosing on LaCroix. So I think that's funny. And then you get back, and I don't know, maybe I just would never be able to get. Before I ever started doing stand-up, though, I knew I could be funny off the cuff like a lot of comics before they do it. Or when you run into someone after the show, they're like, I'm situationally funny. I'm just not funny on stage. Yeah. And it's like, well, you got to find a way to like regurgitate that. So I used to rock a microcassette before I ever did stand-up. And I basically put it on the bar at a place in the Alphabet City. My buddy worked at a dive bar, and we would go in there at 4 in the morning and drink all night long, and I just record me, you know, ranting and having a conversation, and there'd be punchlines in there, and I thought, I think I could be funny because of this micro cassette. But
had you tried stand up at that point yet?
No, like I hosted a open, like a singing showcase, and I, you know, whatever I might have done.
So no.
Yeah, exactly. And like what, you know, stuff I did in high school trying to be funny, like hosting and shit like that, but never stand up. No. But I guess at one point I was living with a girl, and there was a girl's voice in the back on the audio cassette. And when I came home, I left my micro cassette recorder on the just out on the coffee table. And
it was recording.
No, I had. You know, I just had left it there. And then when I woke up the next day, there was a post-it note on the recorder from the girlfriend I was living with. And it said, play me. And so I picked up my recorder, and like I was all pissed.
You fucking motherfucker.
Pretty much. And so I rewound it, and I was pissed because it was like I had some gems, or at least I made my buddies laugh.
Oh, she erased over.
She didn't pick up
where you left off?
No.
Bitch.
Yeah, and she goes, listen, you know, basically.
Why is she mad?
Because she could hear a girl's voice on the...
That's it.
...that I was partying with. And she said, listen, if you cheat on me again...
Again.
You didn't tell that backstory.
Yeah, that's the story.
Well, had you cheated?
Yes, I had.
The opposite of had he done stand-up.
Yeah. She said, if you cheat on me again, I'm going to fucking kill you.
On the recorder? She taped herself?
Got a recorded death threat.
I was a little spooked by that one, and I was just like, but you know, is it dramatic to think that that's a threat, or is it...
Did she ever bring it up again?
Well, it was the beginning of a... turn of events that had me leave the apartment with just what I could stick in laundry bags and move to Florida. So like that was the beginning of finding out that she might not have been right in the head, and that we probably weren't right together. So I guess I took it seriously, but I'm sure it was over-dramatized when I shared it with my brother, who's like, you need to get the fuck out of there, and I took him up on it, and he bought me a ticket, and I went to Florida.
Did he bring the news crew down?
Yeah, that's that report. That's all. Guy's on the run.
And Florida's like the place where, you know, everybody goes, right? And then I started doing a play down there, but I was the only guy from... I was a local, and all the people from New York were like, what are you doing down here? Like, you know what I mean? It was like they thought I was in the witness protection program doing a local theater show.
Kind of were.
I was, actually, yeah, because I didn't talk to anybody, and I was just shell-shocked from a terrible relationship, which is kind of...
Ended in a death threat, bro.
Yeah, well, yeah, that too, and then getting punched in the chest, and, you know.
What happened? What is that?
Getting punched in the chest
by her.
I had to go in. My buddy Mike, who's a great friend from Jersey City, and maybe been around the block a few more times than I had at that time in life. He was the guy I called to say I need to go into this apartment and get all my shit that I can carry. And he's like, oh, "I'm coming with you, bro. Don't worry about it." And we went in there with those nylon laundry bags that you buy on 14th Street, and we just started stuff. He's like, taking stuff off the walls and just basically taking what I could get. And while we were doing that...
This was after the day of the recording?
Yeah, yeah. And me saying, I want out of here. And she started, you know, she wouldn't give me the keys to the apartment. And she told Mike to wait outside. And he's like, I'm not waiting outside. And, you know, he was there to, like, be my henchman. And then somehow she convinced him to go outside, and then he's like knocking on. He's like, I think it's time I come back inside right now. Like, he was being a good stand-up guy. And then, you know, I let him back in, and I got like three bags of like my stereo and CDs, but I left a lot of cool stuff. But she started swinging at me and punching, you know, the whole like scene in the movie where she's punching you asshole, like yeah. The hammer fists on your chest. And yeah, and then you get out of there and
you move to Florida.
Then you're in Florida, you know, wearing a leather jacket and wingtips on the beach.
Did you have a job?
Yeah, I had a job. The job that eventually, you know, tortured me with the stripper, I was at that job, and told them I had to leave. And I wound up going back because it was such a mom and pop. They were glad to have me back. But I had to leave that job.
Crazy.
It was a mess. And it was that apartment.
So you did feel threatened.
I did.
You had to.
Well, yeah, there's other stuff in the story. When I told her that I wanted out, she wanted to go to...
Couples therapy?
No, she wanted me to bring her to the her psychiatrist because she said, I'm very upset and I'm going to hurt myself if you don't bring me. So I was like,
And you're like, all right, just can you bottle that because I have an ex who's doing a play she really needs to get there emotionally. I gave her a bonsai.
Exactly. So yeah, it was definitely I don't know if you can attest or you can attest that we've all had that like toxic 20-something. Maybe later in life. There's always that weird, I don't want to say toxic, but just that relationship that just takes you out of your game. You know what I'm saying? You're trying to get like headshots in the mail and trying to like 20s. Fucking get a life. Trying to get a life going, and then this stuff just—it's literally like putting a manual transmission in reverse. If you're trying to get anywhere, you know.
Two transmission references.
I did that twice. I'm in the car thing.
I mean, I haven't. It's just all the way over down to the right. Area. I don't know why that's such a big deal.
And the tri-state area.
Unless it's a Beamer, then you push down, pull left.
Oh, I know.
Up.
Yeah. Jason had a few cars.
Well, man. Volkswagen.
Goes all the way to the
push in.
Right.
Push in first. Uh-huh. In and down.
Look at you guys in imports. You guys with the imports. Yeah, that was that's not exactly fond stuff to remember, but it's all in the drama game.
Mm-hmm.
I remember writing those pages and like just being grossed out and like having to like grind through,
relive it
just to get them out, and then you know,
yeah,
it's not fun.
That ain't easy.
That's method acting right there. That's tough what we do, these stand-ups and these writers and all that shit.
Tell us the story about when you first moved to LA.
I had no idea where I was gonna live, and I didn't know basic geography, and I didn't know and you're looking for cheap shit. So I went on
your first spot.
Yeah, I was crashing, couch surfing for a while, and then I had to like figure it out. And I had a friend who had moved out maybe a year ahead and was living in the Valley. And he's like, "Why don't you come out with me and I'll show you some places and some neighborhoods." And so we're driving around different, you know, how the Valley's just got neighborhoods of apartment complexes.
Wait, how long did you couch surf for?
3 months, something.
And did
like
you
that.
Have a job at that point?
No.
No.
I had like, you know, two
Did
grand.
You couch surf when you moved here?
Yeah. A couple months.
Yeah.
Month. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not, you know, don't do that if you move to LA. Come with 10 G's if you can.
Oh, minimum.
God, if you
minimum.
Can.
I moved with 3,200 and didn't couch surf. Just moved right into a place.
So you had to start paying rent out of that 3,200 right off the dome?
Yeah. And I'd already spent 700 on a car that died a week later.
My couch surfing was still paying rent, too. I wasn't just laying on for free.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I probably got over, and I feel bad now about that, now that you say it. But yeah.
No, if someone can get you a couch for free, that's dope.
Yeah.
I think people like it. You know what I mean? People
Helping
love it.
Helping people out. And, yeah. I hope so. But yeah, it got untenable after a while, I guess, because I probably extended, you know, the thing is I had enough money to maybe, like you did, get a place and get it off the ground, but I didn't have enough money to not work and then deplete it.
Yeah.
And then when I needed to move out, I was effed. But, you know, I had to look for singles and whatever, and I was even another room share, but my buddy's place was totally full, and... So he would drive me around, and I've been trying to turn this into a bit, but like he was not showing me important, useful information. Like, this is near the 10 freeway.
Right, yeah.
This is near the 405. This is a walkable neighborhood. He was just driving me around. He's like, "You see that apartment over there? I used to date an Asian girl, and she was she was so tiny, it looked like I was killing her every time. I was like, Jesus Christ. And it was like a tour of places. He's like, there was a couple Dominican chicks over there. Like, it was this guy was killing it, apparently. And everywhere, it was nothing was relatable except to where he
where he
was,
had sex with chicks.
Yeah, and it was like, this is not.
Did you move into one of those buildings?
I didn't, but I got a terrible place in Burbank with a bee's nest inside the apartment.
Inside?
Yeah, inside the apartment. So I'd wake up in the morning, there'd be bees flying around, and I'd be like, what the fuck? And
then, how much was the rent? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was like $650 for a studio. It had one of those shitty fridges that had to be defrosted. It didn't have a freezer.
Got one here.
Yeah. And when I come home from work, there'd be seven dead bees on because I guess for some reason they can't live away from the hive or something like that. Anyway, and that's one of those bottom out moments because it was freezing in Burbank one night and they had those wall units, and I put the heat on, and it was so old and dilapidated the fucking fire alarm went off because the fucking so I'm just
all
like freezing and smoking bees flying around.
Bees. So what'd you do? How long did you live there?
Came in for
I lived there for a month, and then I got lucky with a place in Santa Monica, and the guy let me out of my lease, and thank God. But yeah,
then you rolled all the way to Santa Monica.
Yeah,
Burbank. You're glad though, aren't you?
I am. It's a different world.
You've been over on the West Side forever.
I have. I've been spoiled with that, but I didn't, you know, live in an abandoned place. Jay's been fucking crafty though. I admire that about you, Jay.
Thanks, buddy.
I really do.
I had no other choice.
Yeah. We did it, bros. We're still alive.
Still doing it. We're still alive.
Still alive. Oh, man.
Tell us these.
Oh, yeah. Well, I have it's a historical proclivity, I guess, to date black women, right?
Historical proclivity.
But
what are you talking about?
That sounds effed up because it's like it's not a thing.
It's a preference.
I've been committed. Yeah, and it is. But in New York, I had a girlfriend that we go to clubs.
Well, it's funny because I just told your girlfriend, I'm gonna say her name, the other night when I saw her the first time I met you.
Uh-huh.
We were all at Room 5 above what is it, Amalfi there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
They had a great show for a while in there.
Right.
Segura was on it. I was on it. I don't think you performed. I think you came to check the show out.
Yeah, maybe.
And you were in a leather jacket and two hot black chicks with him. And your girlfriend's like, that's Carl D.
Yeah.
That's Carl D.
That's my thing.
I was like, yep. I was like, it's a historical proclivity.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wanted to be Robert De Niro so bad I started modeling my dating life after him. But there was a couple times in New York where the fish out of water was, I don't know, I guess it was just figuring shit out, but there were some clubs in New York on the West Side, I think it was called Wetlands, and on certain nights of the week, it was straight hip-hop night, you know? And I guess, I don't know, in the 90s, it was, you know, it just wasn't as mass, I don't know, it was still kind of like going underground club, and nothing bad happened.
Clubs are specifically hip-hop nights.
Hip-hop nights.
Yeah.
So I'd be the only, I don't want to say only, but I would go with my girlfriend at the time and her equally attractive friend. So it's me, stressed out Carl D, trying really hard to be fresh and down with. I had Timberlands on. I had baggy jeans.
Yeah, what
did
you wear?
I had, you know.
Have like the ivory turtleneck sweater with the leather jacket over it?
No, that's sort of like R&B. I had like a black, like an army jacket, but that was black, so the epaulets were, you know, and that kind of, and like black jeans tucked in the Timberland boots.
Tucked in. What color Timberlands?
Like black.
Carolina blue?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, black. Black.
So I was like, you know, just trying to be down, you know, and, but it's stressful anyway being in a club, and then, so I'd be with two girls, and then me, and then it's my job to go get drinks. And that's always, I'll be like, I'll be right back. I go get my Heinekens and whatever, and I got drinks, and then I'm gone for a while, and then I come back, and there's just dudes, fucking dancing the fuck out of my girlfriend.
Oh, they're dancing. They're not just talking. They're dancing.
Dancing the fuck out of her friend, and I'm just like, here are your drinks. I'm just
hey, guys. Guys.
Like, and the dudes just could give three fucks.
Oh, man.
Like, there's nothing you can do. And then I would get in these, you know, arguments like at the diner after, like,
you know, with your lady.
Yeah, and I'm just like, you know, I'm in a foreign land. You know what I'm saying? And it was like this stupid like. She's like, nobody's going to hurt you.
Pickpocketers like, looking at you, big boy.
No one's going to hurt you.
But I guess when you, if you don't grow up in a urban environment and then you, it's a fucked up thing because it nothing, now it wouldn't faze me. But back then, it was getting to know myself as a young man and just being in these hip hop clubs. You just thought that these guys would fuck you up, you know, and who's going to stick up for you, you know, if you're, you know, hey, tap him on the shoulder. I think you're dancing with my lady, you know. And it's like, so maybe my beef was with her, but like it was, you know. And she's like, well, I'm always when I'm with you and we go to corny fucking Upper East Side Irish bars, like I'm the only black dancing over here. I'm the only black person. So what's the difference? And then that's where maybe I was incorrect, but I was like, the difference is I'm going to get stomped by Onyx. You know what I'm saying? They're just going to that's the difference. But, you know, now you talk about it and it makes you think that you survived something, which is silly because it wasn't anything to survive. It was just, you don't bring your girlfriend and her hot friend to a dance club if you think it's going to be a smooth night. I guess I couldn't get VIP and I wasn't popping bottles.
Were you guys going on the reg?
Yeah, I mean, pretty much. So there's a lot of places with open mics for singers, and like a lot of people got discovered out of these. Like at Nell's was a club that had I think that was Tuesday nights and like
Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so we were kind of, you know, I was in trying to be on the scene, you know, but it was just like,
you weren't doing mics, were you?
No, I wasn't singing. No.
Sign people and shit?
I was a plus one.
Working
at AR. I got my R&B outfit one. On tonight.
But so. Nell's is where Tupac ran into the girl and all that. Nell's was a great club because if you were ever into nightclubs, you didn't like the big, like, the limelight or like the big Webster Halls, like I didn't like those, but like these sort of hybrid places where you could kick it and go dance, like those were the best, you know. But you know, it's just, and for a while there, my thing was to drink a Heineken and a Remy.
I love
like $22 round, and then the reason they give you like literally like an inch of Remy or cognac is it tastes so bad you can't drink that shit. It's like,
were they giving you a snifter?
Yeah, and so you'd be walking around the club with a Heineken and a freaking snifter, and just like, you know,
oh man,
just trying so hard to be down.
Carl D got a hair pick in his head.
There was one time I went to a club and I had a chocolate milk goatee. And I had a beanie hat on, and I was all dressed in black. And the bouncer wouldn't let me in because I looked like I wasn't up to the dress code. And instead of being mad, I was like, I thought he thought I looked menacing, so I took it as a compliment.
Imagine if you had those. I bet if you had those Visalines, he'd be like, "Oh, you saw that?
It had adult braces." Yeah,
don't bite anybody, man. Go ahead.
Oh, that's funny, but. This is what you do when you're fucking trying to figure
out. Trying to make
it
in hip hop.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Trying to be Eminem with no rap skills whatsoever.
Well, didn't you tell me a story? Maybe you've told her on here before or not, but you were uncomfortable. You had to go somewhere, and it was just you. Was it church, or it was coming down the road to speak, or a wedding or something you went to with your girlfriend's family? I can't remember what it was, but you were like, oh, shit.
Oh,
and it was coming down the line to you, and you had to speak.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. That was.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think ipso facto, my nephew-in-law kind of he graduated high school, and like he played Division I football at Texas. Yeah, and so he was a big high school athlete, and so like he had the dinner after graduation was his coaches and. His grandfather and his aunts, my girl, and me, and I'm just like...
And his grandfather played in the NFL.
Yeah, yeah, and so it's going around the circle, and everybody's saying these beautiful fucking things.
Are you trying to, like, step out of the circle?
And I'm just trying to shrink, like, because it's coming around the horn, and every you know, the coach is like, you know, fortitude and character on the field and off, and I'm just like, oh, my God. And then it comes to me, and I'm just like, you know... again, the only white guy at the table. There might have been another white coach.
He starts screaming
special
at
teams
Jerry
coach or something. It came to me, and I'm just like, am I, like, and you can't be a dick and be like, I refuse to say anything right. on the grounds that this is too much for my. And you just start vamping, you know, and you're like, I
what did you say? Do you remember?
I think I said, I try to get a laugh in there. You're like, I don't know you too well. Like, I gave him that one. Now you turn into a corny uncle because that's all you are. I don't know you too well, but I'm proud of you, and I love you. You're like, and it kept going. But that's the easiest thing. When you don't know what to say, you go with cheap sentiment, right?
Yeah.
Not that it was cheap, and I meant it, but it was just, this is not my place to say shit. But then the ego, the performer in you wants to get your licks in, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No?
If I learned anything at Nels. It's that,
Nels. Yeah, start going into stories.
Go to your hip hop days.
When I was transitioning into the hip hop part of my life, yeah, no, it was just a mess. But what are you gonna do? You it's the beauty of
when
being
you go
a minority.
To UT.
That's a good lesson that most people don't get.
What?
Like you'd never, if you're the only other in a room, that seldom happens to a lot of people. So it's a good learning experience because you get to
feel what it's like.
Yeah, rely on your personality and I do a dumb joke where
and know at the end of the day we're all just people.
Yeah, 100%. And then so if you're at a family reunion you're the only white guy at a barbecue, like it's just a fucking bar. Like there's nothing exotic or fucked up about it, but it's good to break through my own nerves about it all. Because mm-hmm. honestly, any social event is a stressful situation, white or black, you know what I mean?
Or Asian or other.
Or other, yeah, that's true too, yes.
Yeah, right. Right. Social
the,
event.
The crab feast is for the people, man.
Mm-hmm. we're just about there, so why don't we finish off on that one?
Right? Oh, okay, yeah. So I eat at a lot of the same places, pretty much like clockwork. An assassination target, you could find
me. I think we know a couple of them.
Yeah. And one of them is this place in
I'd like to think that I hopefully added California pita to your rotation.
100%, dude. I'm there. I get the meat combo every time. The one on that. They don't deliver to Santa Monica, though. But that's all right. But I'm at a...
you have to get out of the house?
Yeah, exactly. I'm at a fish taco place that I go to all the time. And I'm eavesdropping. I always have a book, and sometimes I don't read anything, and I just eavesdrop. And this, the girl behind the counter and the boss are talking with this couple, and they're talking about how, it'll be fine. We're just gonna, we'll just kind of commandeer the restaurant and take it over. We're not gonna close it or anything. And so basically, this couple is planning to do their wedding reception at this mid market fish taco place.
Mid market,
yeah. Maybe, mm-hmm. maybe low mid-market. I don't mm-hmm. know. But
like Temple?
Like what?
Mid-market team.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Right, right.
The Timberwolves.
Yeah, yeah, right. What's that? UMass. I keep listening to the manager because I don't want him to say like, well, you're going to have to pay to close the restaurant down. I want him to be looked out for this nice young Latin couple and... So I'm just eavesdropping, and I just like the way they're doing it. They have friends who work behind the counter, and they're gonna basically let them have a party there. They sell beer, they can crank up the music, and it's so quiet on Sundays that's no big deal. So I asked the chick, I'm like, "Is that manager yours fucking with them? Is he cool with it?" And oh yeah, it'll be good. And I'm like, okay. So
what time should I be here?
No, right. Basically I go and I buy some flowers and it's a little creepy because like they don't want me there, but I knew it was a week from then. And then I basically walked in with some flowers and I said, if you want, don't tell anybody this creepy white guy who's sitting there for lunch, and put some flowers on the table for their wedding. And it was a very my thought was you could do it at the the Ritz and your crummy wedding and your marriage is over. Like there's nothing wrong with this is a beautiful thing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, wherever they just as long as they the agree and that's what they want to do, that's perfect,
good for them.
And they do you know if the flowers made the table?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't follow. But, like, I basically was trying to do a good deed and, like, try to be the coolest guy they ever met. And, like...
Hey, but put these in those 64-ounce cups.
Yeah.
You did pay it forward. You brought us each one free fish taco coupon from that place.
100%. So. But, you know, and then, like, the... you know, it's just...
Tacos are dollar.
Every time I go in there after, I was just like, how long was it going to wear off before she said, like, what a nice thing that was? And it was like the three visits
Yesterday's fish tacos.
Just a mess. You just try to be a do-gooder sometimes, and it's just, you know, do it or don't.
How much did you drop on those flowers?
$26-$27
So one bouquet you
got? I think he bumped it up a notch.
Maybe.
Might have been $27
Wait, you bought one bouquet for the whole wedding?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Classing it up.
That's what she threw over her shoulder to, like, see if people...
What a mess.
Oh, Carl D. Gerber so Daisy. Good to have you, buddy.
Oh, God. Thanks for having me. It's fun.
It's great to have you back, as always.
Always good to see you, big
You
boy.
Too, man.
Why don't Let's you do it more. Thank you for doing this. Yeah, man. And why don't you, again, your book, your social media, whatever you'd like there.
There you go. Carl D. Does It, Twitter, The Drama King, the book, Drama King Carl, Instagram. God bless. Thanks, guys. Carl D. Gregorio out.
Love you, buddy. Glad to have you here. As always, jlarsoncomedy.com, jlarsoncomedy on Instagram, and Drama King Carl on Twitter, Facebook, and Pinterest.
RyanSickler.com, RyanSickler on all social media. We'll talk to y'all next Tuesday.